From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The Senate on Wednesday approved legislation that would slow and in some cases halt the U.S. Postal Service's effort to close post offices and other facilities, including the Mail Processing Center in Duluth. The Duluth News Tribune reports a 62-37 vote sent a strong bipartisan message that though the system is ailing financially, it's not good politics, especially in an election year, to take a scythe to popular parts of the Postal Service. Senator Al Franken said that the bill would directly affect Duluth. Quote, I'm relieved to announce that the Duluth Processing Center will likely remain open, Franken said. It would save the 100 jobs there and ease fears about increased mailing costs for businesses. Franken also said it didn't make any sense that mail sent in Duluth to another part of the city should have to be sent to St. Paul for processing. Processing centers are key to ensuring timely delivery of everything from newspapers to prescriptions, he said. Franken asked for a moratorium on any closings until May 15th, so work could be done on the bill. Moments after the Minnesota House overwhelmingly approved a measure changing oversight of state school trust lands, Republicans and Democrats shook hands and exchanged hugs. That unusual display of bipartisanship earlier in the week reflected years of work by several lawmakers to shift administration of school trust lands from the Department of Natural Resources. They contended that the DNR has not done a good job of generating revenue for school children from those properties. The House and a couple of hours later the Senate repassed an updated version establishing a legislative permanent school fund commission and a trust lands director appointed by the governor to oversee and administer land given to the state in the mid-19th century. The director and up to five staffers would work with the DNR but would be charged with maximizing revenue from the property scattered primarily across northern Minnesota. Minnesota has had school trust lands since it achieved statehood back in 1858, when two sections of land in each township were reserved for the benefit of public school students. Most of it has since been sold off, but more than 2.5 million acres, consisting largely of forest, remain. Proceeds from those properties go to the Permanent School Trust Fund, with interest and dividends parceled out each year to school districts. The governor has not said whether he will sign or veto it. Complex rules aimed at reducing haze over Voyageurs National Park and the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness were approved on Tuesday by the Citizens Board of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. The board, which oversees the agency, unanimously voted to send the rules to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for approval. The rules are part of an EPA effort to improve visibility in national parks and wilderness areas. The haze over Voyageurs and the BWCAW comes mostly from nitrogen oxides and sulfur dioxide from Minnesota's coal-fired power plants and taconite plants. That haze also drifts over Isle Royale National Park in Michigan. The rules approved Tuesday were looser than the state agency's staff originally proposed. They were eased after Cliffs Natural Resources officials said the Hibbing Taconite and United Taconite plants would have trouble complying with proposed nitrogen oxide limits. The board deferred a vote at last month's meeting to give staff members more time to work with the company. The Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy urged the board to reject the rules, saying they don't make enough progress toward the goals of cleaning up the air over national parks and wilderness areas or protecting the health of all Minnesotans. The National Park Service and U.S. Forest Service have also said that the plan won't cut haze enough. A Wisconsin-American Indian band plans to lead an effort this summer to raise barrels dumped into Lake Superior during the Cold War. After 4 years of planning, crews are set to raise 70 of the Department of Defense drums containing ammunition parts from Lake Superior. The Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa is leading the effort. Funding comes from a Defense Department program to clean up munitions dumps on Indian territory. The project has been talked about since it was first made public in the 1970s that some 1,500 barrels are on the lake's bottom, 4 miles from Duluth. 70 is considered a number that could give a scientifically accurate sampling to confirm whether or not the 55-gallon barrels are an environmental threat. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has added three options to a list of possible measures for preventing Asian carp and other invasive species from migrating between the Great Lakes and Mississippi River watersheds. In December, the Corps released a draft report suggesting methods such as overfishing, ultraviolet light, water guns, and introducing native predators in Chicago-area rivers and canals that link the two massive aquatic systems. A final version issued last week also raised the possibility of freezing or drying sections of the waterways or zapping organisms with carbon dioxide pellets. Next, the Corps will decide which options merit further consideration. The report is part of a series as officials develop a strategy for halting species invasions of the Great Lakes, possibly including permanent separation of the two drainage basins. The Minnesota Senate has voted to raise fees for hunting and fishing licenses. The Senate's approved a Game and Fish Bill 36-30 that includes the fee hikes. The bill now goes back to the House, which passed it earlier without the fee increases. Under the bill, a one-year fishing license for an adult resident would go from $17 to $22. A deer hunting license for residents would be bumped up from $26 to $30. Other fees would increase by similar amounts. The bill also allows for wolf hunting in the state after the species came off the endangered species list in January. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.